And welcome to iCritic Live. This is the podcast where we talk about movies, pop culture, and life in between. I am your host, Kevin D. Rodriguez, film critic of www.icritic.net. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your time with me. And we've got a few things to talk about today. There's going to be a main topic, and there's going to be a couple little topics. But before we begin, I want to say, you see that, or not see, you guys, it's a podcast. You hear that little audio at the beginning? That is a temporary introduction until we can find a more permanent replacement. I have listened to many podcasts, and while many of the podcasts don't have a theme, it seems like a lot of them do, and so we should, you know, just kind of, you know, ease people into it. So, anyway, the first thing that I want to discuss is the new Mean Girls movie. There were a few movies I wanted to see this weekend. I wanted to see The Zone of Interest, which apparently is still playing about an hour away from me. So I could, but I sense it's going to come closer, so I held off on that. Also, I want to see American Fiction. That one is near me. But because my wife had a day off, she said she wanted to see Mean Girls. So, you know, for those of you who are not aware of what Mean Girls is, I mean, it is not a remake of the 2004 film, which I'm going to be honest, folks, I've only seen once. I saw it once at the cheap theater at Sunrise Mall in Citrus Heights at like the $3 Regal that used to be there. And I think it, you know, closed about a year or so ago, victim of COVID, unfortunately. And I remember enjoying the movie. I still remember You Can't Sit With Us and things like that. It's an iconic movie. The fact that I remember so much of it after only seeing it once speaks volumes, but they decided to turn that movie into a Broadway musical. And that Broadway musical was relatively successful. It got, I think, 10 Tony nominations or something like that. And they decided to adapt that Broadway show into a movie, which I'm personally all for because I like having a professional version of those shows. This is also why I am okay with the pro shots, as they call them, where they put cameras in the seats of the theater and they professionally capture the live performance, although this is definitely more elaborate than that. The movie did feature some of the actors who originated the roles on Broadway, and thankfully was not as distracting as Ben Platt's movie revival or reprisal, I should say, for Dear Evan Hansen. But one of the big things that's been discussion about this is how this movie really was not sold as a musical. Now, if you look at the title on the poster, they did sneakily put a musical note in the logo of the title. So that is a thing. However, they've really went out of their way to make it not seem like a musical. And this is not the first time that they've done that. They did that for The Color Purple, and they also did it for Wonka, where they were really downplaying the musical aspects. And, you know, the marketers said that their reasoning was, well, look, people treat musicals differently, so we didn't want to advertise it as a musical. And, you know, there probably is some truth to that. I mean, Dear Evan Hansen did not do very well. So, you know, and there were a few other musicals that flopped. Now, Wonka has crashed $500 million, so apparently the audiences were okay with that being a musical, but The Color Purple had like this major opening, and then it really trailed off afterwards. So right now, Mean Girls had a massive opening of like $32 million, something like that. And by the way, the movie was set for Paramount Plus and budgeted at $36 million. So it's already beating expectations, and it's going to make money. Paramount, thankfully, will not lose money on this one. But that being said, how is the holdup going to be? Are people going to keep coming back to the movie, or are they not? Now, me, I have seen the show on Broadway. I've seen the movie. I don't know if I liked this remake very much, but that's probably because I was a little lukewarm on the Broadway musical. I liked some of the songs, and of course, seeing it on stage can be a little fun. Once you bring it into a movie form, they did cut a lot of the songs, though, although I don't think many of the songs that they cut were necessarily big losses, if you will. But they did cut like a dozen songs, so fans of the Broadway production are probably not going to be extremely happy about that one. And, well, I thought like some of the good songs aside, it was fine. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat the original, and I've certainly seen better musicals, including The Color Purple, which a fun fact about that one, I liked The Color Purple Broadway musical movie, but I didn't like the Broadway show itself. And I actually saw on Broadway when it had Fantasia in it, so that was like a very interesting experience. I might have to talk about The Color Purple a little bit more, probably around Oscar time, where I'm still predicting it to get a Best Picture nomination. So, you know. Okay, second minor topic today. So I love the show Better Call Saul. In fact, Breaking Bad is one of my favorite series. And in some ways, Better Call Saul is a better show. I can't bring myself to like it more than Breaking Bad, but I have to acknowledge that from an objective standpoint, Better Call Saul is the better beginning, middle, and end for the Breaking Bad series. Although apparently now they want to do a series about Gustavo Fring and his rise. I don't know if they need to do that, honestly. I think we know his story very well. But the reason I'm bringing up Better Call Saul is because the Emmys were a couple nights ago. And some major things happened. First of all, Elton John became an EGOT winner for, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. He finally won his Emmy for his farewell show at Dodger Stadium, which, fun fact, me and my wife actually were at that show. So not only did I get to check off my bucket list item of seeing Elton John live, we saw his very last show in the U.S. probably ever. And so we can now watch that show on Disney Plus whenever you want to relive the night. So that's pretty cool. And I'm glad that Sir Elton John finally won his Emmy for that so he can be an EGOT winner. But Better Call Saul also broke a dubious record. It went home empty-handed. And so Better Call Saul now has this record where it got nominated for 53 Emmy Awards. 53 Emmy Awards. And it did not win one. Not one. That's that is a very depressing statistic considering how good that show was. I think Dan Merle said it best where he's like, I don't know how Breaking Bad went from winning all the awards to Better Call Saul winning none of the awards. But there you have it. All right. So with that out of the way, the minor topics, let's talk about the main topic of the day. And that is the soul-crushing defeat, as Cartoon Brew like to put it, for Pixar's Soul re-release. Now, for those of you who are not aware of what happened with this movie, and I don't know how you could not if you're an animation fan, but hey, let's say you're not. Let's relive this issue. So Soul was a movie that was supposed to come out, I believe, in 2019 from director Pete Docter, the director of Up, Monsters, Inc., Inside Out. So, you know, really big deal. And by the way, also was going to be the first Pixar film to feature an African-American as the lead character. You know, really cool, you know, there. But the pandemic hit. Now, it was always a question mark whether or not this movie would have done well at the box office. I think it ultimately would have done very well because it is an excellent film. It is one of Pixar's best, and I think word of mouth would have definitely carried it, but no one really knew. And then on March of 2020, I think first the movie got delayed a little bit. Like, they decided, you know what, we're going to release it in summer of 2020, but then in March of 2020, well, the world shut down because of the coronavirus pandemic. And so they delayed the movie again. And there was like, it was going to be like pushed, like, okay, we'll get it in theaters. We will. We just have to wait for the box office to reopen, to recover. And then even though November comes around and the movie theaters are starting to slowly reopen. Tenet had come out, and some other films had come out and done okay. I believe some Robert De Niro movie where he played like a grandpa or something actually did pretty good, all things considered. I mean, me and my wife saw it because it was like, well, what else is out there? We got to watch something, I suppose. But Disney decided to release Soul as a Disney Plus exclusive. It wasn't going to be like one of those things that you paid for. It was just going to be on Disney Plus for free. And, you know, a lot of us were disappointed, but we sort of understood it. Even though the box office was starting to reopen again, you know what? The vaccine had just come out. Not a lot of people were vaccinated. And, of course, the anti-vax movement was extremely strong. Still is pretty strong. Like, it's kind of crazy to think that a couple of years after we get the vaccine and we're able to put this thing behind, a lot of people feel like the pandemic ending had everything to do with everything but the vaccine. Although we're not going to get into that now, I suppose, because, you know, people will believe what they want to believe. And there was hope that Pixar's next film would be a hit in theaters. Well, Disney then decided to release Luca, their next film, on Disney Plus as an exclusive. That was a little bit more questionable. The box office was still recovering, but people are wondering, what is the wisdom in giving away this movie for free? Like, you can't do like a hybrid release like you did with Black Widow and Raya and the Last Dragon, which is where they put the movie in theaters and on Disney Plus at the same time. However, they charged a $30 premium to watch those movies on Disney Plus. For the record, I never did that because I was never going to support that sort of release. And so, you know, but hey, Luca did not go to theaters. Thankfully, I did happen to catch that at the El Capitan Theater. They still ran it there for like 1 week to make sure it got its Oscar qualifying run, because the theaters were open enough that the Academy said straight to streaming movies don't count for Oscars anymore. You got to put it in theaters. And so they did for 1 week, you know. And then the following year, they did it again with Turning Red. And this time, it was completely baffling because it's like, hey, the theaters are open again. Like, the smart people are vaccinated. Like, the pandemic is pretty much winding down as a result. You can put this movie in theaters and it will do fine. We suspect it will do fine, but it went straight to Disney Plus once again. I ended up going to the El Capitan Theater to catch it in theaters, where the tickets were $30 each. What'd I pay for my theatrical experiences? I can't believe it sometimes. But anyway, and then Pixar finally started putting movies in theaters again with Lightyear, which was a massive disappointment. And, you know, there's been a lot of debate about that, how releasing these three movies on Disney Plus really hurt Disney. Excuse me, folks. Disney at the box office, in the sense that people were trained and conditioned. Like, hey, why are we going to pay like $60, $80, $100 to see these animated movies in theaters? They're going to put them on Disney Plus in a few weeks anyway. That's why Encanto does relatively minor business in theaters, but you go put it on Disney Plus, guess what? It does extraordinarily good business. So, you know, this has been a debate. Well, because of the dueling strikes, which did not need to be as long as they needed to be, if people like Bob Iger would have just given the writers what they were asking for, they could have saved themselves hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever. Well, they have not too many theatrical releases this year. And so they decided, you know, we're going to make this big announcement. These three movies that we put on Disney Plus, we're going to put them in theaters for the first time ever. And this is especially true for Soul, because I don't even think Soul got that 1 week theatrical run at the El Capitan. Maybe I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, by the way, if any of the podcast stations you're listening to have comment section, please let us know, because I just don't even remember hearing about it. I think on Christmas Day, it was just on Disney Plus, and me and my wife watched it, and we both even commented, oh, this would have been great to have seen in theaters. Well, now we get to see it in theaters. I haven't seen it in theaters yet. I do have my ticket. I'm actually going to go later today. After this podcast goes up, I'm going to see it in theaters. Maybe I'll do a follow-up. Who knows? We'll see. But if Disney was hoping to pad their pocketbooks a little bit with the theatrical re-release of this, they pretty much failed miserably. And they felt so bad, I actually am wondering if the other two re-releases are going to be canceled, and I'll tell you why. So let's look at this article from Cartoon Brew, written by Emid Amidi, and it's titled, Pixar Suffers a Soul-Crushing Defeat at the Box Office. And what they wrote is, its release in 1,350 locations grossed a meager $429,000 estimated over 3 days, and $557,000 over the four-day Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend. Soul landed in 19th place behind the ninth weekend of DreamWorks Animation's Trolls Band Together, which I, on a side note, I want to remind you, there's an older episode me and Rachel did, the worst films of 2023. Both of us picked Trolls Band Together as one of the worst films of the year. So just throwing that out there. Which delivered $450,000 from 618 theaters over 3 days, or twice as much per theater, which was $720 per theater as compared to Soul, which made about $318 in theaters. So, that's the big story. Now, his article goes on to talk about other movies, how even Hayao Miyazaki's The Boy and the Heron, a PG-13 adult animated film that, brilliant as it is really not friendly to people who are not aware of Miyazaki or Ghibli's history. Like, that made like $1.36 million over the weekend for a six-week total of $41.9 million. Now, on one hand, I am not terribly surprised Soul didn't do extremely well. I don't think anyone at Disney was expecting it to break the bank. After all, Soul has not earned its street cred as one of the best films from Pixar. It is critically acclaimed, and people do love it, but it's also relatively new. It's only a few years old at this point, and so we're not talking about like a 10th anniversary or a 20th anniversary where people come out to re-experience it. We're talking about something that's just a few years old. Now, the pitch that you could experience at the theaters for the first time, I hoped that that would be a good pitch to get at least some people out, but apparently it wasn't. And I've got some pretty bleak opinions on this. I suspect that the re-releases of Luca and Turning Red will be canceled as a result of this. Now, to understand why I say this, I'm going to have to go back to the Disney 3D re-releases. I know that Disney did a Disney 100 re-releases thing, but they did not report numbers for those movies, so I don't know how they did, and who knows, maybe even going forward, that might be a direction Disney takes with the next two Pixar films. If they continue to do this, they just won't report box office numbers, which I don't personally like. I think you should report the box office numbers, but hey, they didn't report it for the 100 and re-release anniversary, so let's go back to 2009 through 2012, when 3D re-releases were a huge thing. This is shortly after Avatar became a big thing and studios were starting to dip their toes into the 3D game. And in 2009, Toy Story and Toy Story 2 had a quote-unquote two-week limited theatrical re-release where you could see both films for the price of one ticket in 3D. Now, it did so well that they actually expanded the time period. So I think it stayed in theaters for like at least 60 days. Not too bad. And they made an additional $30.7 million on that 3D re-release. Not a bad chunk of change. And so that got Disney into thinking, well, maybe we can release other classic movies in 3D and people will see them. And they announced about five 3D re-releases for theatrical release in 3D. They announced The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., and they also announced The Little Mermaid. So, in September of 2011, they re-released The Lion King in 3D, and The Lion King does extraordinarily well in this 3D re-release. It makes $94.2 million. This is a re-release, keep in mind. This is a re-release. The production budget of The Lion King was $45 million. This re-release made double, a little more than double, I think, than what the production cost was. So never mind the original release. That is really good. And so Disney is really happy with those results. Now, the next one they do is in January of 2012, they released Beauty and the Beast in 3D. And that movie grosses $47.6 million. Now, that's still pretty good, especially since this movie cost $25 million in 1991. So again, almost double the returns on a re-release alone, never mind the original release. But you will notice that the attendance did drop by basically half. Well, Finding Nemo comes out in September of 2012, and that makes $41.1 million on a 3D re-release. Still, again, it's a re-release. This is all gravy. It's not like this is a make-or-break thing. This is all extra money for the mouse. But it is clear that interest is trending downward. And then you get to Monsters, Inc. in December 19th, 2012. That gets a 3D re-release. It makes $34 million at the box office. And at that point, the numbers are just trending too far downward, and Disney cancels the 3D re-release of The Little Mermaid. In fact, was there one more? Let me just look it up real quick to see if there was like one other one that... No, that appears to be the only 3D re-release that got canceled. Although, thankfully, it did get released on Blu-ray 3D, which is where I watch. I watch in 3D at home. And, I mean, that one was probably the one that I was okay with. Unfortunately, realistically, 2D films don't look very good in 3D. Because, you know, they're meant to be flat. And I remember seeing The Lion King in 3D, and it was like, it kind of looks like a pop-up book. But to kind of get back to the original point, $34 million gross, and by the way, this was like opening weekend, this was like the whole thing, that was just pure gravy for Disney, and that was like, we're not making enough money to do the Little Mermaid 3D re-release, which it's like, come on, it's just one more movie, just do it, but they didn't. We're talking about a re-release that made just a hair over $500,000. This thing will be lucky to make $1 million at the box office. And you know what's like really especially sad is that it's great to see it in theaters, but you know, why are people going to pay to see if they can see it on TV for free? In hindsight, maybe a Fathom event would have worked because, you know, a lot of old movies get re-released, but they don't release them on, like, you know, major scales. It's like, okay, look, it's coming back for one or two nights and you can see it. And then they make a lot of money, but they galvanize the fan base into those couple nights and then they make a little money. But if they do like a general theatrical re-release, it just tends to not do very well. So I personally would love to see Luca and Turning Red in theaters again. In fact, if Luca comes out, I will make sure to see it on the opening weekend because I want to contribute to hopefully a better opening weekend for these Pixar movies, because these movies got screwed by Disney. They got absolutely screwed, and Pixar is still recovering to this day. Do I think this is a bad reflection on Pixar like some of these other fear-mongering YouTube channels are saying? No, this is a re-release. Like, this is not a brand new movie. It just isn't. And so Disney was never expecting it to make a lot of money. I don't think they were expecting to make it as little as they did, but they weren't expecting it to make a lot of money either. So I think, if nothing else, the upcoming theatrical re-releases for Luca and Turning Red are in real trouble. I really do think they are. And look, here's the thing. I do recommend you see it in theaters. Not just to support Pixar, but because it really is a great movie. And even if you have seen it, it is so much better in the theaters, as is everything. But hey, it is what it is. The box office gods are cruel. Movies that make a lot of money that shouldn't end up doing so, and movies that should make a lot of money end up failing. That was the summer of Star Wars Episode One and The Iron Giant. Guess which one made a lot of money, and guess which one deserved to make a lot of money. Box office is not fair. It just isn't, and this is one of those cases. So anyway, that is going to bring an end to this episode of iCritic Live. If you want to check us out, you can do so at YouTube, and you know, we're on Google Podcasts now. We're also on Apple and Spotify, where all major podcasts are available. If you want to read my print reviews, you can do so at www.icritic.net. And if you want to support the show on whatever platform you're listening on, you can, or you can become a member of Patreon, where I think we're going to work on a visual version of this podcast for people who want to support the show financially. But anyway, that is going to be it for today. My name is Kevin T. Rodriguez, and as always, flame responsibly. Have a good one.